one of our services. That's a great, great thing. All right. For those of you who may be guests with us today, if I've not met you, I'm Steve Washburn, the senior pastor. Very glad to have you here with us today. I know some of you use phones to follow along with me. Some of you use your iPads. Some of you, old school, still use your Bible like I do. If you will, go ahead and find whatever you're going to follow me with and be prepared. We're going to look at our scripture passages here in just a moment, one out of the Old Testament and one out of the New Testament. Last Sunday, we started a one-month sermon series on family life. Our emphasis is going to be much more on our church family life than on our biological family life. Last Sunday, we looked at the concept of belonging to the church family. This morning, we're going to look at the concept of generosity in the church family. In one form or another, generosity in the church family is one of the most prominent doctrines in the New Testament. Two small children in the floor playing with the toys. The little girl begins crying. The mother turns around and says, "Tommy, share with your sister." Same two children playing in the floor with her toys. The mother hears the boy angry. She turns around and Tommy says, "Mom, Susie won't share with me." Now what we're looking at there is a boy who does not have a spirit of generosity. It doesn't come natural. Generosity is not part of our human initial set of characteristics. But that's not always the case with all of us, because it's characteristic of the Spirit of God. So those of us who have cried out to Christ Jesus, trusted Him as Savior and Lord, began following Him as the Lord of our lives, He has brought with Him into our lives that characteristic. Let's establish some initial truths this morning to build on. First of all, not all generous people are Christ followers. There are those rare individuals who seem to have inherited a spirit of generosity. It's not a frequent characteristic. It's a beautiful characteristic, but not frequent. Second, all Christ followers should be generous people. And again, we talked about spiritual DNA last week. When we give our lives to Christ, the Holy Spirit moves into us and brings with Him all of God's DNA. And a part of that DNA that God brings with Him in the form of His Holy Spirit is the spirit of generosity. It'd be a difficult thing, it'd be an awkward thing, it'd be a wrong thing for a person to claim to be a follower of God, to claim to belong to the family of God, and not have a spirit of generosity. That would be a wrong thing. We live in a day and age where people are self-identifying with a gender other than their birth gender. It's putting all of us in kind of a confusing place. It shouldn't be. We have men who tell us they are self-identifying as a woman, although they carry a Y chromosome, which is the very definition of being male. And the same thing is true of women. We have women who are telling us they are now self-identifying as a man, although they do not carry the Y chromosome, which identifies them as a biological woman. But they're asking us to agree with them. We can't do that. We sympathize with their position, but any person who carries a Y chromosome is a man. Anyone who does not carry Y chromosome is a woman. That's just the way God has made them. For a person to self-identify as a Christ follower and not have the characteristic of generosity is also an awkward position, because clearly God's characteristic of generosity is something that's His core. It was God's characteristic of generosity that caused Him to send His Son to the cross in order to pay for our sins, so that we could turn to Christ and cry out for forgiveness and receive forgiveness and begin following Him as our Lord and become a member of the family of God. So generosity is at the core of who God is. If we truly have the Spirit of God living in us, then we are generous. We are generous. We are generous because we're members of the family of God. So let's take a close look at the church family characteristic today of generosity. Let's begin with this. Blessings of generosity. Turn with me to the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. There are great blessings to the follower of Christ who demonstrates the characteristic of generosity. Malachi chapter 3. In order to appreciate the blessing of generosity, we must first look at the opposite of that blessing. Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 and 9, 7 through 9. God speaking, "Since the days of your fathers, you have turned from my statutes. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you ask, how can we return?" God speaking again, "Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. You ask, how do we rob you?" God speaking again, "By not making the payments of 10% and the contributions. You're suffering under a curse, yet you are still robbing me." Now here God explains the minimum level of generosity he asks of his followers. He gives us 10%, I mean, he gives us 100% of everything we own. In return, he's asking us by faith to give back to him just 10% of what he has given us. In the Bible, that 10% is referred to as a tithe. He says a couple of interesting things here in this passage we've just read about not giving him his tithe. For one thing, he says not to give him his tithe is robbing him. That's a big, big deal. And second, he says, not to give him his tithe puts us under a curse. He doesn't curse us, but not giving him his tithe puts us under a curse. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. I've had people say to me, "Pastor, I can't afford to tithe." And I got to tell you, when I hear that, in my spirit, I'm thinking, do you know what you're saying? Sidebar. You ever try that with your mortgage company? You ever said to your mortgage company, I can't afford to make my payments anymore. I can't afford to do that anymore. What's your mortgage company going to say if you say that to them? Or have you tried that with your electric company? Thank you for the electricity. You're such a wonderful company, but I can't afford to pay for my electricity anymore. How's that going to work with the electric company? You see, so when I say, do you know what you're saying? When we say that to God, that's a little bit bizarre. But more of that in a moment. I wonder if a person who says that really wants to offend God by robbing him, and do they really want to live under a curse? Now, my wife and I have been married for a few years. When we first got married, she told me that she did not like riding fast rides at carnivals and that kind of thing. She told me that. We went to Six Flags over Texas with another couple. What a great day we had planned. There was a ride way back then called the Runaway Mine Train. It sounds like a little kiddie's ride, but the truth is it was not. It was a whiplash ride. Now, I told her it was not going to bother her, and we got on the ride. She had sunglasses sitting in her hair up here to hold her hair in place. We hit that first little corner, boop, and her sunglasses went boom, and just flew right off her head. I could tell immediately something was wrong. I could just feel the vibe coming from my dear little new wife sitting there next to me. Something had changed in our relationship. We went through that runaway mine train. Oh, I had great fun. And it was good because that was the last fun I was going to have that day. From that moment forward, I'd reach for her hand. She'd brush it away. I'd go to put my arm around her shoulder, and she would squirm out of my of my hand. Now, we had another couple with us, and I want to tell you, it was awkward, awkward, awkward trying to have fun with this other couple, knowing that I had offended my little wife. Do you understand what it's like to have a relationship with someone you've offended? Has it ever happened to you? Am I the only one that understands how this works? Someone's saying, preach, brother. Yeah. Take her to Six Flags, runaway mind. That's what you want to put her on right there. Well, that's kind of the concept here. I've got to tell you, I don't know what a person is thinking if they're saying, I'm not going to give my tithe to you, God, knowing they're going to offend God. I don't know what a person's thinking. I don't know what's going through their mind. Now, let's look at verse 10, the test for blessing. Verse 10, bring the full 10% into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. God says, test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. See if I'll not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. Now, I've got to tell you, I don't know of another place in all of Scripture where God says, test me. Test me on this. The only place I know of. So that makes it very, very noteworthy. God is saying, if you're a little bit iffy about this, put me to the test, tithe, and see if I won't bless you. See if I won't bless you. I want to tell you, if you're not tithing, you need to know. There are people sitting all around you here this morning who are tithing or more. If you're not tithing, you need to know there are people all around us in the world here who are following Christ who tithe. This is not an unusual thing at all. This is a very common thing for Christ followers to tithe. Patricia Heaton is the actress who played the wife on Everybody Loves Raymond. I don't know whether that was one of your favorite shows or not. It was one of ours. In one interview, she said this, and she's a Christ follower. She said, I struggle to keep it simple. Obedience, sacrifice, modesty are not real popular buzzwords out here. An issue I'm dealing with lately is this, and I quote, am I being a good steward of my money? In fact, she said, I was talking to a friend about tithing, just giving 10%, as opposed to giving until it actually starts costing me something, which is what I think tithing is all about. And I'm just sharing that with you to let you know there are people everywhere, Christ followers all over the place, who take this very, very seriously and who are tithing. So if you're not tithing, I want you to kind of wake up to this. And then one final thing we see in this Malachi passage about tithing is the proof of blessing. Malachi chapter 3, verse 11, God says, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not ruin the produce of your ground and your vine in your field will not be barren, says the Lord of hosts. Now, here's what I was referring to a moment ago. God's saying, you're under a curse, not my curse, but just by the natural order of things, if you're not tithing to me, you've put yourself under a curse. If you'll begin tithing, I'll break it up. I'll destroy that curse so that your vine will begin producing again, so that your land will begin producing again. I'll break that up so that you'll no longer be under the curse. I think that's a powerful, powerful thing. The blessing we receive from God in return for our tithing is not just spiritual blessing. It's not just invisible blessing. The blessing we get from God in return for our tithing is tangible. It's visible. It's documentable. It's measurable. The blessing we receive from God is the kind of blessing we can live with and live within and maneuver around. It's very tangible, physical blessing in addition to all the spiritual blessing that comes from it. So as we talk this morning about generosity within the family, we're talking about, first of all, the blessing of generosity, which is enormous. Now, a second thing, as we're thinking about generosity in the family, is the purpose of the generosity. This is important for us to understand. Why does God want us to be generous? I would say there are a couple of reasons. First, generosity is one way we transact with God. It's a one-for-one reciprocity with God. There and back. There and back. It's a transaction we have with God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. One for one. Sowing, reaping. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. One person gives freely, yet gains more. Another withholds what is right, only to become poor. A generous person will be enriched. Now this gets back to the passage from Malachi where God says, test me on this, give me your tithe and see if I won't bless your socks off. That's my paraphrase, obviously. You're not going to. Give me your tithe, God says, and test me on this. See if I won't bless your socks off with this. And it's up to us then at that point to say, okay, I'm going to trust you in this. I'm going to test you. I'm going to trust you and I'm going to test you in this and see if you won't bless me. So, does God want us to be generous? Why does God want us to be generous? Another reason is because generosity is a ministry to our brothers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul's talking about an offering the people of Achaia are taking up for the people of Macedonia. And that's kind of the setting, that's the context of the passage. And he begins by saying this, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Now concerning the ministry to the saints. So Paul considers this offering that they're collecting, he considers this a ministry to the saints. That's important for us to hear. I think we overlook that often. This offering is a ministry to the saints, our fellow Christ followers, our church family. Our church family. He considers our tithing to be a ministry to our church family, our brothers and sisters in this family. You may have picked up on this. Some of you have, I know. VBS starts tomorrow. This room is going to be transformed into, oh my goodness. If you were to walk in here tomorrow, you wouldn't recognize it. It's going to have all kinds of decorations up here. People up here on the stage dancing and singing. Obviously, I'm not one of them, but you know, they're much better at this than I am. The kids all singing, decorations everywhere. Fellowship Hall over at the other building. Beautiful, beautiful transition through VBS. We will have on Wednesday of VBS 13, 14, 15 kids saved. How do you think it's paid for? Yeah. Yeah. We pay for that. We pay for that. During this summer, we have had preteen camp. We've had preteen mission trip. Great impact in those kids' lives. We subsidize that. We subsidize that. This summer already, we've had student camps and student mission trips. Lives changed, not only the lives we touched, but the lives of our students. We subsidize that. We have men's ministries and women's ministries and support groups for all kinds of hurts in the world. We subsidize those. We pay for those. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but you're not sitting on an apple crate on a dirt floor with a straw hut over your head. Have you noticed? We're sitting in a beautiful facility here on cushioned pews. Do you know how you got those? We paid for those. We have an electric bill. We have a gas bill. We have a water bill. We have a phone bill. We pay for all of those. We pay for all. Who's paying your way? I don't know. I don't know who's paying. I'll tell you, I am. The people sitting around you who are giving their tithes, they're paying your way. They're paying your way. So the offering we give, the tithe we give, is for the family. It's for the family. Did you know we have people in Texas, in very uncomfortable situations, winning the loss to faith in Christ, we're paying for that. Did you know we have people in North America, Seattle and Massachusetts and New York, Minnesota, I've met many of them, who are helping, they're winning people to faith in Christ Jesus. We're paying their salaries. We're doing that. We have people all over the world winning people to faith in Christ Jesus. We're paying their salaries. We are. Those of us who are tithing, we are. Let me ask you, are you helping us? Are you helping? Are you leaving that up to me? And by the way, let me get into this. We have seven pastors who do an excellent job. An excellent job. We're paying their salaries, all except mine. I'm the dead weight. But these guys, they're doing an excellent job. We're paying their, and by the way, they don't get paid much. Let me hear an amen, John. Matt, you know, they don't get paid, but we pay their salaries. So the tithe we give is given for the brethren in the family, here in the family. Are you helping us? And I can almost hear you, I can't afford it. What? Figure something out, friend. Figure something out. Because this is for the family. This is for the family. One last thing, we're thinking about family life. Let me read the rest of that passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, then make some brief comments. Beginning of verse 1 again. Now, concerning the ministry for the saints, we began there. It's unnecessary for me to write you, for I know your eagerness, and I brag about you to the Macedonians, saying, Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal, good word, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. Therefore, I considered it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance the generous gift you promised, so that it will be ready as a gift, not as an extortion. Remember this, and here we are again. The person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The person who sows generously, there's our word, will also reap generously. Each person should do as he's decided in his heart, not out of regret, or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Boy, that makes sense. There, you know, I'd love to spend a lot of time in that. I just have time for a couple of things. Let's begin with this generosity that's contagious. Paul says there in verse 2 regarding the influence of the Acadians' offering had on the Macedonians. He says in verse 2, your zeal has stirred up most of them. Man, I love that kind of generosity right here in our congregation. We're in giving, we had such a zeal, such an excitement, such an enthusiasm about it that was contagious. Everybody caught it. Wouldn't it be great if everybody caught this enthusiasm? Wouldn't that be a great thing to have this kind of enthusiasm? You know what? I could use an amen right about there. I feel like I'm up here all by myself is what I feel like here this morning. Man, contagious generosity is what we're talking about here this morning. I suspect they would have had something to do with this next thing. Generosity that's cheerful. Verse 7, Paul says, God loves a cheerful giver. You know, if I'm involved in this transaction with God, if I'm involved in this one-for-one reciprocity with God, I give, you give me one. I give, you give me one. I give a bunch, you give me a bunch more. If I don't give, you don't give. You know, this one-for-one reciprocity. If I'm involved in this transaction with God, and I'm experiencing this trade-off with the invisible king of all eternity, I want to tell you something, that's going to be exciting. Wouldn't it be exciting? With you, it wouldn't be much, because I give you, you give me back. I get it. But if I'm involved with God, why, this is exciting stuff. It's exciting, it's cheerful. God loves a cheerful giver. You're about as quiet as I've ever heard you here this morning. Why shouldn't I feel cheerful about it? The only reason I would not feel cheerful about it was if I wasn't doing it. Peter Marshall, Dr. Peter Marshall, was the chaplain for the United States Congress for a long time. He was very effective, one of the most effective chaplains in my memory. And he tells the story how a man came to him. I don't know if he was a congressman or not. He may have been, but this man came to Dr. Marshall. He said, "Dr. Marshall, I got to share with you something confidential. I've got a problem. I need some help with it." And Dr. Marshall said, "Sure, anything I can do to help." He said, "Well, I've tithed all my life, but," he said, I've met kind of a problem here." He said, "When I was making $20,000, I could afford giving $2,000. You know, when I'm giving $20,000 a year, I can afford giving $2,000. But," he said, "I'm making $500,000 a year now. I can't." He said, "Are you kidding me? I can't afford to give $50,000 in tithe, you know." And so Peter Marshall said, "Man, I get it. I understand. I understand the problem." He said, "Maybe we should pray about it." And the man said, "Oh, I'd really appreciate that." So they, you know, kind of joined hands and they're praying there. And Dr. Marshall said, "Dear God, my brother here has got a problem, and I understand what he's going through. We just come to you. We have help. We need help from you. Dear God, if you will, if you'll just consider reducing his salary to where he can afford to tithe again." No, that's not what I want, God. Dr. Marshall, that's not what I want. Just reduce his salary back to where he can afford to tithe again. In a biological family, we're generous with each other. We love each other. We take care of each other in our biological family. Even more so in our spiritual family, in our church family, we're generous. We're generous. We're generous with each other. It's who we are. The Spirit of the living God within us is a generous spirit. It's the Spirit that sacrificed Jesus for us, his church family. If we have that Spirit of God living in us, we have that same generous Spirit. Come on. Come on. Come on. Join the rest of us. Let's get involved in the generosity of the family of God. Amen? Amen. Pray with me. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you that you allow us...